Good evening. As Stephen shared, my name is Sam Duncan, and my beautiful bride, Erin, and I have been members of the church since 2021, and it has been an absolute joy to be at UBC. We love this church body, and we love each and every one of you, and are just grateful to be here. Man, I've got to tell you all a story. So back in 2018, there were 12 boys from a Thai soccer team, along with their coach, that entered a cave system after soccer practice. Some of you are nodding, you've heard this story. So the boys and the coach started to explore, and this wasn't just a small cave, this was a huge system of caves underground as they went deeper and deeper in. Little did they know that monsoon rains fell outside. By the time they were 2.5 miles in, all the ways out were blocked with water. They were stuck. For 9 days, the world watched as Thai international divers searched tirelessly for the boys. And when rescuers finally surfaced in the dark chamber, they asked, "How many of you are there?" A boy's faint voice answered, "13. Miraculously, all 13 were still alive 9 days after being trapped. So this part is what gets really crazy. The rescue divers devised a plan to save the boys and the coach. But because of the challenging passageways and being underwater, they came up with this idea to sedate them. So they went in, and one of the divers, world-renowned rescue diver, is actually a doctor, and they sedated each boy and attached them to their back along with secondary tanks. And then they took them each out one by one. All the boys and the coach made it out alive, but with the tragic loss of one of the divers. The world rejoiced because something deep inside of us celebrates when there's rescue from darkness into light. But friends, the rescue of the Thai soccer team pales in comparison to what Christ did for us on the cross, a greater eternal rescue. So let's look to Colossians 1, 13 and 14 as Paul celebrates that. So if you will, open your Bible and turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. To set the scene for the book, Paul is writing from prison in Rome, alongside his beloved son in the faith, Timothy. He has never visited Colossae himself, but through his faithful ministry in Ephesus, just 100 miles away, the gospel has spread there, and a church has been planted. In verses 9 through 12, the Apostle Paul has been praying for the church at Colossae, and we pick up Paul's prayer in verse 13. So follow along with me as I read our passage. It's also up on the screen for us tonight. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So these are not my words, bigger words than I know to use, but this is the main idea of the book of Colossians. Here it is. Alive in Christ, believers grow to maturity, resist falsehood, and live transformed under his supreme and sufficient lordship. I'll repeat that one more time for you note takers. This is the main idea of the book of Colossians. Alive in Christ, believers grow to maturity, resist falsehood, and live transformed under his supreme and sufficient lordship. So tonight, we'll consider the implications of the first part. Alive in Christ, as we look at three wonderful truths from the text. Look back with me at verse 12. Paul tells us to give thanks to the Father. And in verses 13 and 14, he gives us three reasons why. Our main idea this evening of the passage will also serve as our outline. And like all good Baptist sermons, there will be 3 points. Here's the main idea of the passage. Christians, give thanks for the Father's rescue, the Son's reign, and the cross's redemption. Christians, point one, Give thanks for the Father's rescue. Give thanks, point two, for the Son's reign. And the third and final point is give thanks for the cross's redemption. Point one, the Father's rescue. We've been delivered from darkness. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness. So the ESV uses the term delivered. I like how the CSB and the NIV and a dozen other translations, they actually use the term rescued. So we've been rescued from the domain of darkness. What's special about being rescued is it happens once, at one moment in time, the moment of the new birth. He rescued us completely. Christians, it's a finished action. You have already been delivered. Delivered from what? The text tells us we've been delivered from the domain of darkness. Looking up the word domain, it means authority, power, or jurisdiction. And darkness refers to the evil powers under Satan's control. So the domain of darkness is Satan's jurisdiction, his kingdom of deception and death. I was thinking about that word jurisdiction, and it makes me think of law enforcement. And actually ran into Bo Tartaglia this week and brought that term up. I said, hey, when you do like a police chase, if you're in Springdale, because he's a Springdale cop, if you're chasing somebody, do you have to stop when you hit Fayetteville? And he said, no, it's great. In Arkansas, you can chase on. So I'm glad we have guys like that who are out, you know, chasing the bad guys down. But if you've ever watched those high-speed police chases on TV, and you see where they exit one county, and you have the sheriff's deputies, they all peel off. And then you get the new group of guys coming in, different cars, you know, maybe a little different color. And you go, oh, okay, they're in a different jurisdiction. So I want you to have that imagery in your mind, because that's what happened at your conversion. Satan lost jurisdiction. He lost authority over you. He no longer has his grip on you as a Christian. Romans 16:20, there's a wonderful promise from the Lord. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. How sweet is that? Church, we have been rescued. And that is one reason we should give thanks to our Heavenly Father, because we have been delivered from the domain of darkness and we are no longer under Satan's authority. So we've seen at the beginning of verse 13 that we've been delivered or rescued, and we've also been transferred. That brings us to our second point, the Son's reign. We've been transferred into his kingdom. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Paul is saying, God not only rescued you out of darkness, he moved you into a new kingdom, Christ's kingdom. Simply put, Jesus is king. He has a kingdom, and we are now citizens of that kingdom. We've been transferred to that kingdom of his beloved Son. We live under the good authority of a loving king, a good shepherd. What does that mean for us as Christians? Sometimes the best way to interpret the Bible is from the Bible. So if we look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, it says, we are to be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. So does this, the language used in our passage, does that sound familiar to anyone? There's some Exodus language being used here. Like the Israelites being delivered out of Egypt, rescued out of Egypt, and transferred into the promised land, we have been rescued by Christ Jesus out of the domain of darkness and transferred into his kingdom. Paul is urging us to be thankful. Unlike the Israelites, who right after being delivered start complaining and then spent a nice 40 years in the wilderness. Let's not be fools. Let's be grateful. So a second reason we should give thanks to God is because we have been transferred into God's kingdom. Third and final point, the cross's redemption. Redemption and forgiveness. Verse 14 goes on to say, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Redemption is a big word, and I try not to use big words. My vocabulary is very similar to our president. I like to use really simple words. So thankfully, the text goes on to tell us what redemption means. It says, redemption means we have been purchased by the blood of Jesus. We have received the forgiveness of sins. How sweet is that? We have redemption in Christ Jesus today, tomorrow, and forever. What a sweet promise. A third reason we give thanks to God is for redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. To recap, Paul tells us in verse 12 to give thanks to the Father. And then immediately following in those two verses, 13 and 14, he gives us three reasons why. Christians, we're to give thanks for the Father's rescue, the Son's reign, and the cross's redemption. Those are three wonderful reasons to be grateful. And our application tonight is a very simple one. It's just that, to be grateful. But if you think about that, what does that mean practically? How do we apply that this week or tonight even? And it's not just saying thank you, but instead, it's living lives that flow out of thankfulness. Because true gratitude should lead us to worship, to obedience, and to witness. We were all in the domain of darkness at one point as believers. And as I am in this room, it's quite wild to look back to my freshman year, the fall of 2009, when I was hopeless and under Satan's authority in the domain of darkness. And I was chasing meaning in all the wrong places and coming up very short and very empty. And it was actually in this very room where Mike Griffiths is sitting that I began to attend STUMO, and is a college ministry meeting that used to meet here once a week. And during that time, I met a high-energy, very joyful fifth-year senior from my fraternity. And he took interest in me and started sharing the gospel with me. Some of you might know him. His name's Trey Richardson. So throughout my freshman year, several faithful men, Trey, Joe Boone, Blake Brewer, Drew Wilkerson, Jay McGee, and Blaine Killian, were faithful to share Christ's love with me. Over months of conversations, friendship, patient explanation, they helped me see what I had heard all my life, but I had never truly grasped. That God created everything good, that man's sin had separated us from him, that Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man, lived a sinless life and died as the perfect sacrifice on the cross for us. And just 3 days later, he rose again, proving he is God, defeating sin and death forever. At the end of my freshman year, the Lord called me out of darkness and into his marvelous light. By his grace, my faith is in Christ alone. And I know most of the room are believers. Praise God for that. But I do want to take a moment and ask the question, have you put your faith in Christ? And for the kiddos in the room, if not, I'd like to invite you to do so. If you want to learn more what it looks like to follow Christ, grab any UBC member or myself. We'd love to help you understand what it looks like to not be under Satan's grip, but instead to be transferred into the kingdom of Christ. And for the Christians in the room, if you have placed your faith in Christ alone, you've been rescued and redeemed. And here's my encouragement to you. Ed Ray, I want you to think back to the person or people who share the gospel with you. Reach out to them this week and tell them thank you. Let your gratitude overflow in encouragement. And second, this is for you right now. If you've got a pen and paper or grab your phone, write down the name of one person that you know that is still living in the domain of darkness. And then tonight before you go to bed, pray for them. And plead with the Lord that he would save them. Pray that God would call them out of darkness and that he would give you the boldness, the wisdom, and the opportunity to share faith with them. And finally, go share the gospel. Call that person. Get lunch with that person. Take them to coffee. Man, be faithful to obey God's command to share his word. So in closing, give thanks for the Father's rescue, the Son's reign, and the cross's redemption. Let's pray.